Good evening.
Good evening, brother.
I bet every one of you knows several people that you're very close to. You may call them your inner circle. Those are those people that you know you can count on through thick and thin. Those people who, when they say they will be there, they will absolutely be there, no questions asked. Those people who, when they commit to something, you can literally bet your life that they will follow through. I place on these people in my life great importance, for I know that I can count on them. There is an opposite to that type of friend, and they are called fair weather friends. That is, they are there as long as it is convenient to them or as long as it benefits them. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Are you one of those people that others can count on, or are you just a fair weather friend? That question may be loaded because we think about there are some people that we're really, really close to and others, not so much. Did you know there is someone in the Scripture who is called a friend of God, literally? Actually, three times in the Scriptures, we are told that Abraham is a friend of God. James chapter 2 and verse 23. James chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." When we think about fair weather friends, we imply that maybe they're good friends sometimes and other times they're just displaced. Can you imagine having a friend who would be your best friend? That person who, if you're hanging out together, you're always either together or you're on the phone with each other or you're texting each other. You're always in contact with this person all the time. You go out to eat together. You share the same recreational ideas together and beliefs together. Your family even vacations with that person's family and y'all are very, very close. But what if there were certain times, what if there were certain months out of the year or even days out of the week that they simply wouldn't talk to you? They wouldn't answer your calls. They wouldn't answer the door if you paid a visit. What if this was a friend you had done lots of things for? You had helped them with their, perhaps with their bills, or you helped them with their marriage. You even helped them with home projects and did a lot of things for them. And yet, sometimes they just would not answer your calls. They wouldn't talk to you no matter what. They just totally were disconnected. Would you think that there was something wrong if there were times like that? How would you feel? How do you think that God feels when we are fair weather Christians? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is in a Roman prison and he's nearing the end of his life and he's giving this charge to Timothy. This is probably the last thing that he'll be talking to him about. I was reading some little snippets. I get this update thing that's kind of little words of wisdom, and it says things like, one day you played with your friends in the neighborhood for the last time. One day your parents picked you up for the last time. There is a last time for everything. We don't even realize those things. When you think about this, Paul is at that point in his life. This is the last thing that he'll be directing to Timothy. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." Paul's charge to Timothy is to preach the word. And the next part is critical to all Christians. Be instant, in season, out of season. Be instant, in season, out of season. Paul is telling Timothy that his Christianity is to never take a break, but that he is to be an all-weather Christian, not just a fair-weather Christian. How many believe that when Paul says to preach the word, that he is mainly or only talking to preachers? Too often times we see that word preachers. It doesn't apply to me because I'm just a Christian. I'm not a preacher. That's a common misconception, but that message is for everyone. We are to live our lives in such a way that we are a walking, talking, living, and breathing example of the gospel to everyone who is around us or to everyone we come in contact with. How can we live the gospel if we take off for anything and everything? I know you all know someone right here in this congregation that if you show up, whether you've been here for every Sunday for the last 6 months or 6 years, or if you haven't been here in several weeks or months, you know that there's one person or two people or certain people in this congregation that when you walk through that door, they're going to be here. And if they're not, you think, what's wrong? What happened to brother so-and-so? Where is he at? Where is she at? Where is this person? Because if they're not here, there's something wrong, because you know they're going to be there every time you walk through the doors. If they're not here, it means something is wrong. I asked if you had any friends who would do anything for you, the type of friend that will drop what they're doing to help you no matter what. This is what that be instant is talking about. When it says be instant in season, out of season, it's this is what this verse is talking about. The word is translated from the Greek word epistemi, which means to be at hand. To stand ready, that is, we are always to be ready to carry out our Christian duties, our Christian responsibilities at any given time. But this is not because Paul has told us to, but rather because we love the Lord and because of all that He has done for us. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, and it says here, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables." It's interesting that he says that right in the midst of encouraging Timothy to go out and preach the word. Be instant in season. Here's how you should be as a Christian. This is what you should live. This is how you should act. Because there's going to come a time when they're not going to hear you. We talked a little bit about that this morning in our Bible class, about God hardening the hearts. Basically, comes a time when He no longer reaches out to encourage, but allows them to harden their hearts. And so Paul is kind of touching on that. Now, I want to keep going back to that friend who would do anything for us. Suppose you found out that your friend only had 3 months to live. Do you suppose you would then find the courage to teach them the gospel? Would you do everything that you could with the time that you have left with them to make sure that they spend an eternity in heaven and not somewhere else? How important would your life or your mission as a servant of the Lord be if you knew that that person was only going to live for a short amount of time? How important would the mission to teach the gospel be if you knew someone was only going to be here for a short time? We often look at it and say, boy, that's going to go quick. They get in 3 months to live. Well, that's not very long. We should always be about the Lord's business. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." We should stand ready to do every good work. It's easy to say that we do. However, many times we are more absentee Christians than we are ready Christians, and it's a sad thing. It's easy to tell that we do that. I use that term broadly, but looking at our attendance between Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, it's easy to see that there are some who really do not take Christianity or their devotion to Christ any more serious than that. I've often told people, listen, if you need anything, call me. I may have told you that at one time or another. If you need anything, call me. And it doesn't matter when. You can call me any time, day or night. I don't care if it's 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, you can call me. I've told many people that. And I mean it. You can call me at 2 in the morning. But do I really mean it? I believe it when I say it, but sometimes I wonder if who's calling makes a difference. Yeah, you can call me at any time. If you're one of my closest friends, or if you're one of the, I hope that I'm not that way. I hope that I really mean it when I say you can call me at any time. Now, I'd like to make something clear. If you call me at 2 a.m. and I don't answer the phone, I'm not checking my caller ID and screening my calls for you. Don't get offended. My cell phone doesn't work at my house. So I'm telling you right now, if you need to call me, call my house phone. If it's 2 in the morning, I'm going to be at my house. I will not be somewhere else. So I might be out of cell service, but I will be there and I will get your call. If you call my cell phone, I won't get it until later. Mickey Davis told me one time, he said, yeah, you can call me anytime. You always said, call me anytime. Well, I'm telling you, you call me anytime. I'd love to just sit and chat sometime. And I know you got a lot on your plate and I know you're busy all the time, but you can call me anytime. So one night I'm working on my sermons. I'm sitting up late and I'm doing some study. I got books everywhere, a pencil in my mouth. I'm going through all of this and doing all this research. And I look at the clock and it's 1:30 in the morning. Everybody in the house is asleep. I pick up the phone. I put it on speakerphone and dialed Mickey's number. Hello? What's going on? We talked for an hour and a half. It was a great talk. We had a great visit. I have some friends that should I desperately need something, they would be the last person that I call. Seriously, like if I'm out in a place and I'm stranded and I need some help really, really bad and I finally get signal for just a second, it may be the only call I get to make. There are some people I will not call because I know they won't answer their phone no matter what. They will maybe return my call later on, but they won't answer the phone. If it's an emergency, they're not going to answer their phone. You're not going to get a hold of that person no matter what. There are some people like that. There are others that all they have to do is see that they missed a call from me, even if that phone just goes ding, and they just hear a beep and say, Jim tried to call me, I'm going to call him right now, and they will call me immediately. I'm sure we all have friends like that. Sometimes being a Christian means just being there for someone, not necessarily doing anything. Other times it means giving all you've got. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I thought about this verse when I read this because I keep talking about fair weather friends, and there's some people, I assure you, there's some people that I can call him and I'll say, he's not going to answer the phone. He's not going to answer. I know he's not going to answer the phone. So when he calls, do I look at my caller ID and say, I'll give him a taste of his own medicine. Set the phone down and we'll wait and see what happens. See how long he lets that phone ring. Let's check the answering machine and see where he's at. No, I don't do that. And the more I look at this verse right here, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15, it reminds me that our biggest call is that we are the one that's supposed to be the friend, regardless of how they act. In fact, everyone that we know should think of us as that one person that they can rely on 100%, regardless if it's our closest friend or not. Everyone that we know should know as a Christian that we are that person that will do whatever we can to help someone in time of need. When I was a kid, I don't ever remember the term 24/7. It must have come about sometime in my teenage years or maybe a little later than that. But I can remember it finally got to be something popular. People would say, oh yeah, I'm here 24/7, 24/7. It may have became popular when I know it became popular when I was a young man. But then it became 24/7, 365. 24/7, 365, meaning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Really, you don't have to add that 365 because if you say, I'm ready for you, or I'm here for you 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That encompasses the whole year. It doesn't say, but I'm going to take off for Easter, I'm going to take off for Christmas, I'm going to take off for weekends, I'm going to take off. No, you can't. It's 24/7. I'm here for you all the time. I'm here no matter what, right? So I don't know who coined that phrase or whatever you want to call it, but it should describe the Christian perfectly. It should be the Christian's motto. We are to be instant, in season, out of season, 24/7, 365. Not ready when I feel like it, or instant as soon as I get back from vacation, or I really need some me time right now, so I won't be in church this week. Or I need to reconnect with my family, so I won't be coming for a while. I have family coming down, so I'm not going to be here. Let me tell you something. My family comes down. If they don't want to come to church with me and come to worship with me, they're welcome to stay in my house, but I can assure you I won't be there, and not just because I'm a preacher. This has been going on as long as I've been a member of the church. We walk out the door, we're leaving, we're going to worship no matter what. And there's no way you can set a better example than to do that. And the worst example you can say is, man, I'm so glad y'all are here. We're going to go ahead and stay home. Let's have a big breakfast. Let's lounge around and enjoy each other's company. Not when I've been told that I need to worship God and I need to not forsake the assembly. Some people say, I need to reconnect with my family, or what have you called the one person you felt could get you through a difficult time? When you told them your situation, you're in a difficult situation, you call them and you tell them about it, and they say, well, that's too bad. Have you talked to the elders? You probably ought to call them. Would you feel like they just took what you had to say and you poured out to them and they diverted it over to somebody else? Let somebody else handle it. I'd feel like they weren't ready to serve as a Christian. I also feel like they were, like I had very much overestimated their commitment and zeal to our friendship. If this happened to you, would you still consider that friend a faithful companion? How many times do you call on somebody and they turn you away, or you ask for help and they turn you away before you just quit out? I just won't ask that person anymore. They don't think of me as a friend the way I think of them as a friend, or whatever. Again, how do you think God feels when we are constantly making up excuses as to why we cannot give Him a couple of hours every week? People just, I was up there. I got up early this morning and I was there. I've worked hard all week. God gave you that job and you ought to be thankful for it. We make up excuses. James chapter 1 and verse 27. James chapter 1 and verse 27. And we see here in James 1, 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. When COVID hit and the government wanted to shut down our nation, including the churches, it kind of sounded reasonable. Everything needs to be shut down. We are all freaking out. This is bad. This new virus is going to kill everybody in the world. It's going to wipe out the planet. Oh, it's bad. They're going to shut down everything. Yeah, we need to shut down. And we shut down for 2 weeks. Completely shut down. Businesses. We thought, it sounds reasonable. As the elders of the congregation here, we sat and had a talk, a long talk. And we decided we're going to weigh the odds. Do I obey men or do I obey God? Was the first thought. We're going to obey God. Second thought is, it doesn't matter which way we go. We're going to make half the people mad one way or the other. We stay, we're going to make half the people mad. We close the doors, we're going to make the other half mad. We chose the pleasing to God path, and we stayed open. Okay, so we decided that we would do that. This congregation, we never closed our doors. We remained true for every service. However, some people quit coming to worship. When COVID hit, we were averaging 120 on Sunday morning. That was our average, 120. It's never gotten back to that number. Worst part of it is that the people who self-quarantined and didn't come forever and ever and ever, they still got COVID. They still got it. Go talk to everyone. They still got COVID. Oh, we can't go to worship. We might get COVID. It's really weird. They're not going to come here because they might get COVID, and yet nobody here had it. I think I'd like to go to a place where nobody has COVID. If I was going to try to avoid COVID, I'd want to go to the places where nobody has it. And nobody here had it. We didn't get it. It took a long time before somebody in the congregation got it. And even then, they got it somewhere else. Many still do not come to worship but once on Sunday, and seldom if ever on Wednesday. That's a fair weather Christian. If you're no more committed than that to your job, you'd be fired. If you're no more committed to that than to your marriage than that, your marriage would fall apart. Scary thought. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus specifically said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you not love God? Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. It says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. We can make a good show anytime. You ever hear one of those stories about somebody? Maybe a serial killer, rapist, murderer. And what do the neighbors say? Oh, he was such a nice guy. We never knew. I mean, he had a job, he had a family, he had a wife and kids. He was, no, sure, not that guy. He must have been framed. We're pretty good at putting out a show in life. It's pretty easy to hide things. How often are we denying the Lord by our works? If we were as faithful to our spouse as we are to the Lord, would our marriage last? Guys, how long would your marriage last if you only spent an hour with your wife every week. And even then, when she was talking, you were ignoring her. An hour a week? Marriages wouldn't last, wouldn't go very long. When COVID hit, churches were shutting down all across the land. Many are still not having evening worship services, and some of them have shut down altogether. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. I want to give you an illustration here. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Here it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want you to picture this. Imagine God looking down upon the planet, looks down on earth from heaven, and He sees all of the churches of Christ as lights. All of the churches light up. There's little lights all over. You ever seen the planet Earth from space at night? And you see all this light all over? The light that we generate. Imagine if that light was just the light we generate for being Christians. Letting our lights shine. And the Father looks down and He sees all of those lights. And then COVID hits. Or there's a virus scare across the land. And as it sweeps across the land, one by one, the lights go out. And from being a planet covered with lights to being a few lights spotted here and there. And like the beginning of time, darkness is upon the face of the deep. But there are still some who are letting their light shine. There are still a few bright lights. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 2. Isaiah 58 and verse 2. "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice, and they take delight in approaching God." When reciting marriage vows, one of the most common vows is forsaking all others. When it comes to our Christianity, do we forsake all others, including the government mandates and laws? And some people say, obey those that have rule over you, not when they go against God. Does this passage describe our congregation? "They seek me daily, they delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of God." You know what that means? That means that they forsook all else to obey the ordinances of God. They did not forsake the ordinances of God. They forsook all others. Does this describe our congregation, that we delight to know God's ways and forsake not the ordinances of God? If not, why not? Have we become complacent when we take a vacation from our jobs? Do we take a vacation from God as well? Or would it be more likely that we are being described in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 31? Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 31, does this more aptly describe us? And they come unto me as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. When we look back to the religious practices of the first century, we can't help but be amazed at their love and their dedication and what they went through. You think it's hot outside right now, everybody? That's a talk of the town. 109 degrees out there. It's crazy. You go out here, I'm dripping sweat. You walk out and it's like, I feel like I'm in an oven. You think about that. Feels pretty good walking in the building, even though our AC isn't 100% up to snuff right now, because we're, as Charlie said, we're waiting for the insulation. It still feels much better in here than it does out there, doesn't it? You think about the first century. They had no air conditioner to walk into ever. They're sleeping out there. They're going home and going to bed out there. They're worshiping out there. Everything you feel, and you think it wasn't 109 degrees over there? I'm sure it was. The first century church had a zeal for God, and nothing would stop them. Interesting. When you look back at the practices of the first century, it's amazing. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." It's not hard to do the will of God, but many people just choose not to. Trust me, I'm not saying they're bad people, but some people just have justified in their minds that it doesn't matter. God's going to love me anyway. I can miss worship. I can go on vacation for 3 weeks and not worship anywhere. It doesn't matter. I'll come back. I'll be back. God understands. God will love me anyway. I'm sure that God loved Judas right up to the minute that he betrayed the Lord and hung himself. But I seriously doubt that God condoned his actions. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. February 19th, 2022, we had an evangelism team come down from house to house, heart to heart, and they challenged us to go out and spread the gospel throughout the community of Natalia, and not just the community of Natalia, but to all of your friends. I know some of you have friends in Divine and in Lytle and Hondo and Pearsall and San Antonio and all over the place. And some of your closest friends may not be from this community. But we were challenged to take the gospel, and we had to start somewhere. Our seminar said what we need to do is we need to write down the names of people. These are the contact cards from John chapter 4. From February 19th. We should have 10 names on this card of those people close to us who are lost that we want to take the gospel to. We should be praying for those people, and we should be having Bible studies with those people. If you do not feel confident or the courage to have a Bible study with them, talk to the elders of the congregation. Someone will go and study with them. Give us that contact information. We will have a study with them every single week without fail. By the time I get home tonight, I will have an email in my email box from Rob Whitaker asking for a congregational update on our evangelistic effort, and I will say it's going nowhere. We're doing nothing. What is the problem? Why? Why are you having a problem? What can I do to help? That's his answer. What can I do to help? I don't know. We're a little slow getting going. We've got a table coming for the foyer where we can put out all the tracks. Hopefully that will incite a little bit more a zeal or fire within us to go out and take it. I've got names on my card. It's full. I've already started writing little names down the sides and on the corners because I think of more and more people. The opportunities, I'm telling you, are difficult. If you're waiting for that opportunity to come, I haven't had a chance to talk to those people yet. Then you're just like me, and we should be ashamed. Because we should be opening our Bibles every single night to John chapter 4, where this bookmark should be, and we should be praying for those people, and we should be thinking of those names and reciting those names. I should be able to memorize, I should have all those names memorized right now because I've looked at them so much. I should have them memorized to where I can tell you exactly who the 10 names are, and I should have already scratched a few of them off because they have been obedient to the gospel and now are no longer part of that list. But I'm not. And I'm ashamed. And I hope that you'll pray for me because I'm praying for you. Because this is an evangelistic effort that's going to help the Lord's church to grow. We want to be that light to shine before all men. We want God to look down, and if there's no other bright lights, we expect that Natalia is a bright light that He can see us doing His work. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Too many people believe they are so blessed, they don't realize what a miserable wretch they really are because they're not doing the will of God. Have we become fair weather Christians? Is our light going out? Do people look at us and think, if that's what being a Christian looks like, I don't want any part of it. They're not faithful. They're here every Sunday night while I see their churches worshiping over there, and I see them out here mowing the grass here. They're not faithful. It's time we wake up and light the fire in our souls. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, and we'll close. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you have any need, if you have not obeyed the gospel, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
When we walk...